This is Highland Radio News.
Coming up, the UK stepped up its sanctions on those believed to be close to the Kremlin, including Chelsea owner Roman Abramovich. Prices rose in Ireland at their highest rate in almost 21 years in the year to February. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty has further lobbied the government to do more to tackle rising fuel costs. And a Midlands North West MEP is calling for a temporary postponement of some EU climate targets. Good evening. Oisin Kelly will be here too with all the latest in sport. First in news though, the UK stepped up its sanctions on those believed to be close to the Kremlin, including Chelsea owner Roman Abramovich. The billionaire's having his assets frozen and is no longer able to sell the club. Authorities in Mariupol say a six-year-old girl is among three victims of a Russian airstrike on a hospital yesterday. Residents there say they don't have any water, food or electricity as a result of shelling. Twitter's launched a version of its site on the so-called dark web, which allows Russians to bypass surveillance and censorship in their country. Facebook, which has been blocked by Moscow, is looking at similar measures. Vladimir Putin's called sanctions imposed on Russia by the West illegitimate and insists the country will solve all problems related to them. The Russian president also accused leaders of lying about the cause of rising fuel prices.
The results of their own mistakes they are trying to blame on us. This is an obvious thing for experts. They are just covering up their decisions in order to deceive their own population.
Prices rose in Ireland at their highest rate in almost 21 years in the year to February. CSO figures show they went up by 5.6%. Rising energy prices continue to push up costs. However, the figures do not take account of the Ukraine conflict. Business journalist Gavin McLaughlin says it's likely consumers will begin to change the way they spend.
And it is going to be challenging for the Exchequer, not just because they've now lost a lot of tax revenue because of this reduction in excise, but it's going to filter through to consumer spending. People are going to cut down on luxuries because they'll need to keep money in their pocket for these staples, for the fuel in their car. So the Irish economy has come through COVID really, really well. We're facing a blip now, I think. There's no doubt about that.
A Donegal deputy has further lobbied the government to do more to tackle rising fuel costs. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty told Minister Eamon Ryan this afternoon that he needs to understand that people are panicking and that they need support from government. The cut on excise duty on petrol and diesel came into effect at midnight. However, Deputy Doherty has reiterated his plea for a reduction in home heating oil in the Dáil this afternoon.
It's easy for you and your cabinet colleagues to say, let's not panic. You'll be able to afford that extra cost. Many people out there can't afford that. So while you talk about, well, we don't want to reduce the tax on home heating oil, people are saying, do everything that you can to help me, to help my family, to help my business, to help the farmers at this point in time. And do it with inside the law. But you can. Right now, tonight, you could have supported last night's amendments where we would have reduced the cost of home heating oil by €100. It's not enough, but at least it's what we could do right here, right now. Your government should have been asking the European Union for the flexibility of VAT right back in September when we were putting it to Pascal Donoghue. But like yourself, he sat in his hands and he let this crisis get out of control. We can reduce diesel
Deputy.
Further. We can reduce petrol further. You need to understand that people are
Deputy,
panicking
please.
And they need support from government. They don't need to be told to slow down. They're telling you, hurry up, get your act together and get these prices down further.
In response, Minister Eamon Ryan says efficiency needs to be taken into consideration too.
That advice to slow down got a lot of criticism yesterday, but it was an answer to a straight question. What are the sort of efficiency measures we could do? And it's just a fact that if you're, let's say, driving down from Donegal, let's say, which is a long distance, people, particularly in rural Ireland, are most exposed. If we're on a motorway, wouldn't be on the Donegal route, but elsewhere, going from 120 kilometres down to 100 could save you about 20% plus. And that's real. That's absolute law of physics. And that measure is also important, efficiencies. Yes, we will look at whatever other measures we can do. The Taoiseach, I'm sure today, I know today, I was talking to him last night in advance of his going, is going to be working with European colleagues to see, can we do further, can we do more? But there's a certain point where we are actually exposed. And that exposure is the reliance on fossil fuels. And that is why efficiency also matters. And making the switch also matters. People are very upset this morning because they're looking to see on the forecourts and they see that the price hasn't changed. But the problem is that price is probably set several days ago, depending on different stations, as to when the excise was applied. So this is highly volatile. It's subject to real change. It is, we are absolutely tuned to the difficulties Irish families are have. And that's why we're continuing to make the sort of measures we've introduced.
Deputy Gary Gannon, please.
A Midlands North West MEP is calling for a temporary postponement of some EU climate targets that farmers have to meet so they can divert their efforts instead to ensuring food security in the EU. Colin Markey says the war in Ukraine may mean changing priority away from climate target policies embedded in the likes of CAP and Farm to Fork. The Midlands North West MEP was part of a European Parliament group that sent a letter to the European Commission yesterday calling for an urgent review of the EU's approach to food security because of the war in Ukraine. The review is needed, they say, to reduce the EU's dependence on imports and to increase domestic production. Colin Markey says it's about food security on a global level too.
At European level, there's a need to look at the CAP and the Farm to Fork, particularly targets within the Farm to Fork that are reducing the level of use of fertiliser and pesticides and things like that. It's not to do away with these policies, but merely to temporarily postpone them to address this situation. That this isn't just about European food security, it's about global food security.
The chair of the Regional Health Forum West is warning that COVID-19 is having a serious impact on Letterkenny University Hospital. As of 8pm last night, the hospital was dealing with 74 infectious cases with a total of 10 wards affected by outbreaks. SAILTA has confirmed that access to visiting continues to be limited to compassionate grounds only. Councillor Jerry McMonagall says the spread of the virus is having a knock-on effect on the delivery of other services in the hospital. He's appealing to people to once again be mindful in a bid to prevent further pressure being put on the facility.
What I would like to get a message out there today to the wider public is about being careful, that COVID hasn't gone away. It is still very much there in our community. Letterkenny is the highest contagious area now in the country. There's 70 patients in the hospital with COVID. And I would just ask people to continue to be vigilant, to wash their hands, socially distance where they can, and to wear masks in public places where there's large volumes of people, because it's still very much there. And as we've seen in the hospital, it is now starting to affect and not going to other services. It is if the staff are also being affected by it, then we're going to be losing doctors and nurses and auxiliary staff at the hospital. So I just ask people to be very, very careful. COVID hasn't gone away, and ask people to continue to follow the guidelines that were always there around washing our hands, wearing masks where we think it's important to do so, i.e. in supermarkets and busy places and all of that, because we need to stop the spread of this virus. And if we do that, then the hospital will be open again to all the services. We have visiting times now stopped at the hospital. This is a knock-on effect to many families and indeed patients who are ill and being looked after in the hospital. But I think if we revert back to the guidelines at the beginning, then we'll be doing giving immense help to the staff at Letterkenny University Hospital and in preventing the amount of COVID patients and indeed wards that are now out of service to other patients.
Donegal County Council's Economic Development Strategic Policy Committee has heard of a need for a wider discussion on the county's fire service. A presentation was made by Chief Fire Officer Joseph McTaggart in response to a motion put forward by Councillor Michael McLafferty, who called for the fire service to step in as first responders when the need may arise to alleviate the ambulance service when it's facing high demand. Eamon Tornsey has more.
Donegal County Council's Director of Services, Gary Martin, told today's committee meeting that the HSE and the National Ambulance Service are currently exploring where and how the need for the fire service to respond as a medical service could be addressed. He says there is a will there to have a conversation around it, but at the moment believes it would be a challenge which is being exacerbated by serious incidents and severe weather events. Mr. Martin says as it stands, it would not be practical for fire personnel to respond to ambulance call-outs while continuing core duties. That was echoed by Chief Fire Officer Joseph McTaggart, who says while there is no agreement with the HSE, the service does respond to cardiac arrests. However, there are, he says, potential issues with the medical service being provided, including an impact on response to core services, requirement for additional training, potential increase in insurance costs and issues around medical records.
There's further calls for an increase in electric vehicle charging points to be rolled out in Donegal. An Ardra hotel owner claims she has been subjected to a high number of cancellations due to the absence of a charging point in the town. Proprietor of the Nesbitt Arms Boutique Hotel in Ardra, Claire O'Reilly, says it's a no-brainer.
Probably over the last couple of months, Greg, you know, we've had a few cancellations, you know, due to the fact that we haven't got a charger in Ardra. Now, I do believe there's one in the other towns, you know, in Glenfield and in Killybegs, but we really need one in Ardra, you know. Apart from the few bookings that were cancelled, it's a no-brainer. We've been asked to be sustainable more and more every day. And those people that chose to buy the electric cars, you know, they need to be looked after when they visit our.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Catherine. We start with football. Stephen Kenny says bringing a Republic of Ireland side back to Germany for European Championships is a dream. His new contract will see him through to Euro 2024. That tournament will mark 36 years since Ireland's first qualification, and he wants to match that achievement of Jack Charlton and co.
To go back to where Ireland started in the European Championships, first ever European Championships. You know, we want to go back to Germany, just if it's back to Stuttgart or wherever it is. All right, we you know, that's the big dream for Ireland to qualify for the European Championships, and you know, no stone will be left unturned in attempting to do that.
Chelsea have had to receive a special license from the UK government to fulfil tonight's Premier League fixture at Norwich. They're considered among the assets of Roman Abramovich that have been frozen. The UK government has imposed sanctions on the Chelsea owner due to his ties to Russian President Vladimir Putin. Abramovich's sale of the club has been blocked and would also need government dispensation to go through, with the Russian receiving nothing. Kickoff at Carrow Row is at 7:30. At the same time, Southampton host Newcastle and Watford go to Wolves. And at 7:45 at Elland Road, struggling Leeds are facing Aston Villa. West Ham will travel to Sevilla tonight on the European front for the first leg of the Europa last 16 tie. Their Spanish opponents have won the competition a record 6 times. Scottish champions Rangers, who beat Borussia Dortmund in the previous round, are at home to Red Star Belgrade, while in the Conference League it's Leicester against Rennes. The semi-finals of the Donegal News Ulster Senior League Cup start tonight. Up first, Bunnygee United against Derry City Reserves. That one starts at the Dry Arch Park in Bunnygee at 8 o'clock. And then on Saturday at 2 o'clock, Coghill Celtic are playing Monaghan United. Jonathan Sexton returns to the Ireland Rugby starting 15 for Saturday's crucial Six Nations game away to England. He's replacing Joey Carberry in one of 6 changes to the team that started against Italy. Hugo Keegan, Andrew Conway, Bundiaki, Kane Healy and James Ryan also return. Despite starting the last 3 games, Mac Hansen misses out on the match day 23 entirely. Head coach Andy Farrell is taking no heed of Eddie Jones' assessment this week, where he has said Ireland are favourites.
I don't see what he does for and against. It's just about us preparing properly. I also know that Eddie's said plenty of times in the past as well that prayers makes you weak, so... We make sure that we just keep care of our own house and prepare properly over the next coming days and ready to perform on Saturday.
For England, Sam Simmons comes in at number 8 with Alex Drummond dropping to the bench. In golf, play has been suspended on the opening day of the Players' Championship due to inclement weather at Sawgrass when he was called ashore. Shane Lowry was one under through his first six holes. Rory McIlroy and Seamus Power, they go out this evening when the action resumes. Tommy Fleetwood is among the leading trio on the course at four under par. Aidan O'Shea will make his first start of the season for Mayo on Saturday evening. The three-time All-Star is named to line out at centre forward for their Alliance Football League Division 1 clash with Kerry in Tralee. Just a reminder, tonight Jason Quigley, Lift Your Heels, airs on Virgin Media 2 at 10:30. This high access documentary follows Jason as he fights for a world title. The fighter allows cameras into his training camp, family home, and talks openly about his struggles with mental health. Finally, in the score tonight, I'll be looking ahead to the National Football League tie of Donegal and Monaghan with Martin McHugh and Dermot Malone. We'll hear from the Donegal and Tyrone managers who will meet in the under 20 Leo Murphy Cup final on Saturday. Plus, ex Finn Harps, now Drogheda United player Keith Cowan, will join us this week on our League of Ireland chat. Harps, of course, play Pats on Friday night. Derry City are on the road at UCD. That's the score tonight after the 7 o'clock news. Catherine.
Sashin, weather now mostly dry this evening with increasing cloud and a freshening breeze. The cloud will continue to thicken tonight, but it will stay mostly dry apart from isolated patches of drizzle. Temperatures of 3 to 6 degrees. Closing headlines now. The UK stepped up its sanctions on those believed to be close to the Kremlin, including Chelsea owner Roman Abramovich. The billionaire is having his assets frozen and is no longer able to sell the club. Meanwhile, authorities in Mariupol say a six-year-old girl is among three victims of a Russian airstrike on a hospital yesterday. Prices rose in Ireland at their highest rate in almost 21 years in the year to February. And Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty has further lobbied the government to do more to tackle rising fuel costs. That's it for now. We're back with more at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, last night, the County Donegal Executive of the IFA held its first in-person monthly meeting in many months. And Donegal farmers were warned about the uncertainty that lies ahead due to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. A variety of issues that are now emerging were highlighted by a number of speakers who addressed the meeting, which was also online. Shortages of grain and soaring fertiliser prices and supply issues are among the chief concerns. Kieran McAvoy, chair of the IFA National Grain Committee, spoke about the importance of food security and said that there are particular concerns about the pig and poultry sectors in Ireland. And Midlands Northwest MEP Colin Markey said that there is a need for an action plan at a European level. Interestingly, he pointed out that €660 million a day goes to Russia to pay for gas, oil and coal. And David Wiley, senior trader with Barnett's, gave an update on the outlook for availability of grains for the next few months. Well, today the IFA's National Grain Committee has been meeting in Dublin. It's particularly relevant in light of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. I've been speaking with Peter Lynch, the vice chair of the IFA here in Donegal, who is also the county's representative on the National Grain Committee.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, Chris. I suppose it would be remiss not to mention the humanitarian crisis over in Ukraine at the moment. There's serious problems over there, and it sort of brings our problems into perspective. But we've been just talking to the Grain Committee today about where the meal or the feed situation is going to be going in the, at harvest, and how we could try and make up the shortfall for the livestock farmers and what we can grow and what we can do for them.
Now, there's been talk about planting more crops and more grain here, but the reality is, you know, that will be limited, particularly in the short term.
Yeah, it's going to be very limited. The price of fertilizer and even the availability of it at the moment is going to tie up a lot of land. There's a lot of livestock farmers that can't or that won't even be planning to take land out of their grazing platform or their silage acreage. So land's going to be the big issue, and availability of fertilizer and even fuel is going to be another one.
And another area that's going to be hit, we've heard recently, the pig and poultry sector. Some people may not realise just how much their inputs are going to be affected by all of this.
Yeah, well, they're on their knees at the minute. They're getting price anyway, and I wouldn't be exactly sure how much a ton their meal has went up in price, but they have no other option other than feed meal. At least livestock farmers can put cattle out to the grass so they can feed silage or something, but pigs and poultry is solely reliant on meal, and they're getting it very, very tight at the minute now.
Many farmers complaining about the rising fuel costs. There has been some relief from the government in that excise duties being taken off the fuel, the diesel and unleaded petrol, but certainly for the agricultural community there's a feeling a lot more could be done.
Yeah, well, if our minister is serious about getting us to grow more crops and secure food, I think they need to come out with a lot more than a paltry offer of 2 cents a litre off our diesel. I was just doing a few figures myself yesterday on my own enterprise. I bought about 30,000 litres last year. Another 25,800 this year to buy the same amount of diesel at the prices at today. And I'd be really concerned and worried that we mightn't be able to get that fuel. So at today's prices, it's cost me 25,800 more, and the government has took 600 euros off. So instead of costing me 25,800, it's now costing me 25,200 just to run the same amount of diesel as it did last year. As I say, if the government's serious about wanting us to secure food for all farmers and or feed for farmers, they need to get serious about supporting us.
Yeah. Now, last night, the County Donegal executive of the IFA had its first in-person meeting for many months, and there was also a zoo or a meats facility as well for people to do it online. Plenty of interaction, but it was interesting. You know, many people may not have been aware, certainly before the crisis in Ukraine, just how big a player it is in the world market for wheat and grain and various other crops. And this was brought home last night.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was our first meeting probably since COVID kicked in. That's almost 2 years now since we have had a physical meeting. We had the online option too as well, and while with a few technical difficulties, which we sort of expected because it's a first for Donegal and a first for IFA as well, that any county executive would be done that way, we worked through our issues and we got it all sorted, and I think we had a very good meeting. We had 30 in person there and over 50 online at one stage. And yeah, Ukraine, I suppose we haven't really thought about how big of an exporter they are. They're a massive exporter of wheat and maize in Europe. I think maybe up as far as 30%. And there's a lot of wheat and maize sitting in stores over there that can't be moved at the minute because of the war. And the Black Sea region's out of bounds at the minute because it's all laced with mines and there's no shipping out of the country. So that's really what's putting an effect on the price.
So it's important to stress that any panic buying can actually worsen the situation. You know, assess where you are, look at what you have in stock, and if you need to get something, maybe not necessarily get too much.
Yeah, well, we talked about that in the Green Committee here as well. There's people buying fuel at the minute that maybe doesn't need it, but they're securing supplies, and that's creating a bit of a problem. And I suppose we're seeing at the start of COVID as well, people buying more food than they needed, and that was creating problems. Panic buying does create its own problem within that, but I think we are at a stage where things are going to get very scarce. Inputs for farms are going to get scarce. We don't want to panic anybody, but just be acutely aware of what's going on out there.
And finally, Peter, there'll be certainly a role for the European Union to play in this, and no doubt the Grain Committee and the IFA will be stating its case. You know, there could be some degree of subsidies or some extra cash pumped in for this whole sector.
Yeah, there's definitely going to have to be new money come to fix this problem. I suppose we'll be forced into this problem maybe by the last cap and this new cap coming now, and food security never was a big issue on it, but it's definitely brought to the fore now with this war, and there's definitely a policy change needed, but I think that'll come. I think Europe's acutely aware as well of what's happening.
We're going to hear a lot more about food security and energy security.
Yeah, food and energy is going to be, security is going to be a big thing going forward, Ian. It's a pity it has took a war to bring it to the fore. And all these people suffering with it, but hopefully we can get it sorted out and get back on track again.
And that was Peter Lynch, the Vice Chair of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA, who also represents the county on the IFA's National Grain Committee, which was meeting in Dublin today. Now, following on from that, a multi-million euro package to significantly expand the area of feed and fodder crops is in the pipeline as part of a government strategy to reduce Ireland's dependence on imported feed and fertiliser. A National Fodder and Food Security Committee was established this week to tackle supply chain pressures and rising costs. Meanwhile, in Brussels, there are fresh proposals to bring set-aside land into production and slow down the implementation of the Farm to Fork and Green Deal strategies have been proposed to ensure adequate supplies of food. IFA President Tim Cullinan said that the mood seems to have changed in Brussels as the possibility of food shortages arising from the drop in Ukrainian wheat imports becomes apparent. In other news, the Department of Agriculture has developed a payment calculator and a stocking rate calculator to help inform farmers of the changes in the new Common Agricultural Policy for the period 2023 to 2027. The payment calculator allows farmers to calculate their indicative direct payments in 2023, including payment entitlement values. To complete the payment calculator, you will need the following information: number of hectares, number of entitlements, and your BPS and greening value per entitlement. The calculators are available on the department's website. And pig farmers can now apply for between 3,000 and 20,000 euro in funding under the one-off pig exceptional payment scheme. Some 7 million euro worth of funding has been allocated to the Department of Agriculture by the National Exchequer to cover the scheme, which will seek to compensate farmers for the unprecedented drop in margins that has seen farmers losing more than 35 euro per pig. The scheme will remain open for applications until the 20th of March. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notices for Thursday evening, the 10th of March. The death has taken place of Mary Margaret Fallon, née Toland, Mallon and Ballylosky Carandonna. Her remains will be arriving late this evening to repose in her home at Ballylosky in Carandonna. Funeral leaving Ballylosky on Saturday morning for 11 o'clock Mass in St Mary's Church Lag, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Patrick Maguire, 5 Glen Road, Newton Stewart. Patrick's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Friday at 10:30, going to St Eugene's Church, Glenoch, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on the Parish of Ardstraw East Facebook page. The death has taken place of Marion Breslin, Upper Drung, Quigley's Point. Family removal will take place from Collins Funeral Premises, Kildaff, this evening at 7 o'clock going to her home. Funeral from there on Sunday afternoon at 12:20 for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Columba's Church, Drung, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on stcolumbusdrung.net. The death has taken place of Michael Doherty, Glasgow. Michael's remains will repose at his sister Donna's residence at Derry Heriff, Dunfanaghy, tomorrow evening from 6 o'clock. Funeral from there at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning to Christ the King Church, Gort the Hork, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, interment afterwards in Gort the Hork Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on MCN Media Gort the Hork or on the Kieran Rorty Funeral Director Facebook page. The death has taken place of Gerard Coleman, Jerry, Carraria Curry, County Sligo, and formerly of Palmfield Upper, Ballahadreen. House open to family and close friends. Remains reposing at St. Trey's Funeral Home, Curry Village, Curry County, Sligo, this evening until 8 p.m. Funeral Mass tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Curry, followed by burial in Bunacrana Cemetery. House private tomorrow morning, please. Family, flowers only. Donations in lieu of flowers to Aware Sligo and Shine. The death has taken place of Josephine Doherty, formerly from Kilmacrenan and the Diamond Dunloe. Josephine's remains will arrive at St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, at 6 o'clock this evening to repose overnight. Requiem Mass there tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, which can be viewed live on Church Services TV. Interment afterwards in Ulex Cemetery, Letterkenny. The death has taken place of Winifred Wilson, Ní Callaghan, Mullany Burt. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal tomorrow morning at 10:15 to St. Angus's Church, Burt, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Paddy Houston, Conclea, Clohan, Donegal. Paddy's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glenfinn, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Kiltievogue Cemetery, Glenfinn. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on the parish webcam. And the death has taken place of Mary Teresa Hepburn, née Peoples, 21 Castle Grove, Raphoe, and formerly Mountain Top, Letterkenny. Teresa's remains will repose at her late residence until 10 p.m. tonight. Funeral from there tomorrow morning for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, followed by burial in Ulex Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on the church webcam. Family, flowers only, donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.